So our church is in a soul shift. Amen. Everybody say soul shift. Soul shift. So week one, you shifted from me to who? From me to you, right? From me to you. So from living for yourself to living for others. And you got some perspective on that. Last week, Pastor Earl did a great job in teaching us that we shifted from slave to, well, you forget already. Child. Okay, yeah. From slave to child. Now this week, we're going to shift from seen to unseen. So this is the shift from living from what you see in the physical universe to the unseen world of the spiritual dimension. Ooh. Because all of us are going to be tested at the very end. There's going to be a final exam. And you don't want to be like focused on or study the wrong thing. So all your Christian life, you're focused on the wrong thing. And, you know, God was really about this instead, right? So it's kind of like the guy who was taking his college class in ornithology. Anyone know what ornithology is? The study of birds. I heard it. Yeah, the study of birds. So anyway, this guy is taking this class in college in ornithology. And now it's time for the final exam. So he studied really, really hard. I mean, he just poured out blood, sweat, tears, like preparing for this exam. I got to pass this exam. In fact, I'm going to ace it. He felt so confident. And he went to the exam day and he was sitting there. And the professor said, okay, class, ready for your final exam. And he unveiled like all of these posters around the room of birds, but just the legs and just the feet. So only the legs and the feet. And the professor said, your exam is to identify each of these birds just by their legs and their feet. And he goes, what is this? This is not fair. This is not what I studied. Not at all. And he tried, you know, number one. I don't even know the first, what's that? You know, tried the second one. I don't even get that one. What is that? You know? And he started to get really, really frustrated because he studied so hard. I mean, you know, he prepared for this, but then this is not the exam he expected. So out of frustration, he started to get up and he started to walk out. And the professor said, young man, where do you think you're going? And he turned around and he said, this isn't fair. This is not what I studied. This is completely unfair. And he began to walk out. And he said, hold on a second. This is your final exam. If you don't take this exam, you're going to get an F in this class. I don't care. Give me an F. I don't care. And he started to go. But then the professor said, well, hang on a second. Well, first, tell me your name. Tell me your name. And he turned around and he lifted up his legs and he said, you tell me. So you got to make sure you study on your final exam at the end of life. Well, it's in 2 Kings chapter 6 that the Arameans are attacking Israel. But every time they attacked Israel, Israel just happened to know what was going to happen. So in other words, they're prepared for the supposedly sneak attack. And so the Arameans just continued to plan all these traps, but Israel was ready for it again. And the king of the Arameans finally said, okay, I have a traitor in my midst. One of you is a snitch, you know. Somebody here is in the deep state. Who's that, you know? And there's like, he's trying to figure out who this is. Who's telling Israel the plans? And finally, one of his captains said, oh, great king, it's not any of us. I said, what do you mean? No, it's got to be a traitor here. No, it's not any of us. We happen to know that the king of Israel has a prophet named Elisha. And this prophet hears from God. And God is telling Elisha all of your plans. He's telling him all of your plans before you do it. And he goes, oh, so that's what's going on. Well, I want this prophet dead. I want you to go find this prophet. I want you to slay him. So they find Elisha and they surround him that night. So they surround him. And so Elisha's servant wakes up and he walks out, you know, of the little place that they're staying, and he looks out and he says, oh no, and he runs back in and he says, Elisha, we are surrounded by the Arameans. We're in deep kimchi. And Elisha wakes up and he says, hold on a second. No, we're not. And so let's read together what Elisha said to his servant. Ready? Go. Then Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Woo! In other words, now the servant could see the unseen world and can see that the forces of God, that the hosts of the Lord of hosts actually had the Arameans surrounded, and so they were protected. Amen? So we want to be able to see like that. Okay? So how do we do that? How does this happen? Number one, write in your notes, engage the unseen world. The servant's eyes were opened, and so we want our eyes to be opened. So we want to engage the unseen world. So there's no formula for this, right? But here's how Moses did this. Now, how many of us know that the story of salvation in the New Testament is Jesus, obviously, right? That's the story of salvation in the New Testament. But the story of salvation in the Old Testament is what? Is Exodus. And so it's how God used Moses to deliver his people from slavery. That's the big salvation story in Exodus. That's the history of the Jewish people. Now, I want to ask you, how did that begin? How did that Exodus story begin, the Moses story began? Well, it began with this, all right? Let's read together this passage. Ready? Go. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look at the burning bush, God called to him from the middle of the bush, "Moses, Moses, here I am," Moses replied. Okay, so in other words, what happened here is Moses is just like, you know, doing his job as a shepherd. And as he's shepherding his sheep, he sees this like burning bush. But he doesn't just pass it by, because this is a bush like he's never seen before. This bush is on fire, but it's not consuming the bush. So this ethereal fire, this spiritual fire is coming from this bush, and the bush itself is not being burned. So it's burning with a fuel from someplace else that, you know, he can't explain. So you know, he just, out of curiosity, just stops, and he's like staring at this. All right? Now, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look. So here's this God thing, right? Here's this God thing. It's a burning bush. And the Lord saw Moses stopping to take a look. Right? Now, it is in that moment that God says, "Moses, Moses." So in other words, when God saw that Moses had paused in his life, in his busy schedule, right, to take a look at this crazy thing that's going on, right? Then he called his name. Then he called his name. Now, what is Moses' response after God calls his name? He said, what? "Here I am." Okay, now this is a very, very important phrase in the Bible. Let me show you the Hebrew. The Hebrew looks like this. Hineni. It's in your notes. Hineni. See the Hebrew letters there, right? And so that word for "here I am" or "I am here" is hineni. Everybody say hineni. Hineni, right? So it means I am here with my whole heart to be radically obedient to you. Now, I should tell you, full disclosure, that's what it has come to mean. But obviously in this moment, Moses is just sort of curious, like, what's going on here, right? But it is found many times in Scripture, this word, hineni. So obviously Moses is one of the first to say it, but Jacob said it before him. Samuel said it, Isaiah said it, Ezekiel said it. Jesus also, in a manner of way, said it, okay? And so how many of us, let me just take a quick poll here. How many of us have ever found yourself awake in the wee hours of the morning, not to take a wee-wee, but because you're just awake, right? And, you know, so that doesn't count, okay? That doesn't count. If you have to use a bathroom, that doesn't. I'm just talking about how it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, roughly, right? It's just, you're not supposed to be awake yet, but you're awake and you can't go back to sleep. How many of us have had that experience? Okay. Oh my gosh, take a look around the room. It's like a lot of people. I have been having this experience more frequently these days, And so because of that, I've been asking other people, has this been happening to you? And I don't know if this is something that's always happened in your life, but for me, it's only just kind of been kind of recent. In fact, a couple of days ago, Friday night, I was awakened at 4 a.m., would be Saturday morning, 4 a.m., couldn't go back to sleep. Now I wonder if that might be the Lord waking you up to pray. And so what I do now is instead of like, oh, I gotta go back to sleep, you know, I gotta go back to sleep, force myself, you know. Instead of doing that, if I'm waking up and I can't go back to sleep, I'll just say, Hineni, Hineni, I am here, Lord, with all my heart. And my intent is to be radically obedient and just listen and see if the Lord speaks. Right? Right? Try it. Try that. Because maybe what God is doing in this moment is He is waking up His church. He is waking us up. Maybe the hour is urgent. Maybe it's a critical time. Maybe something's going on right now. Right? So just pay attention. And this is how the great Exodus story began. This is when God told Moses, you are going to go to Egypt and set my people free. This is how it began, right? With Moses, like, just, huh? What's this? Okay, now listen. There are burning bushes all around you, church. There are burning bushes around you. You just got to, like, stop and, like, ogle, you know? How many of us, we got Danette here this morning, right? Then that's amazing testimony. Oh my gosh, if you didn't watch it, you gotta watch it again, right? Go to the service and, but Danette is a burning bush. It's like, how is it that a woman could go through cancer, diabetes, loss of her husband, being attacked by pit bulls? You know, I mean, it's like so much suffering and come out of it more in love with Jesus than ever. With more trust and more confidence in her father than ever before. That's like, wow, she's burning with an ethereal fire, a spiritual fire that's not her own. There's just no way that a human being could go through all that. She's like Job and she's going through all that. And yet she's still on fire. That's a burning bush. Amen? That's a burning bush. The week before that, you saw the testimony of the Kabat bats. Right? Mark and Becky Kabatbat, and how the Lord just intervened in their marriage. Their marriage is a burning bush. And so we, as the people of God, we just like need to stop and go, what is keeping those two together? Oh my gosh, that's an amazing thing. I mean, we go through stuff like that too, but man, not like that. And it's just like, wow, there's a fire coming from over there, right? Yeah. How many of us know that our church building project is a huge bonfire? It's like, oh, massive, massive burning bush, right? It's a massive burning bush. So what I'm saying is Elisha and his servant were rescued from the Arameans because of the unseen world, right? God used Moses to set the Israelites free from slavery because of the unseen world. Danette and Mark and Becky are being transformed by the unseen world. The project that we're in, it comes from the unseen world. So we're engaging the unseen world now. And a lot of these things that are taking place can happen in your life in a very personal, individual way if you engage the unseen world. How do you do it? Start by saying, Hineni, when God calls your name. Got it? Practice that. Just say, Hineni. Hineni. That's how you pronounce it. And Dave heard this message last night. He comes up to me and goes, hey, Pastor Mike, yeah, I got the word. Like, ha ha, yay? No. Hineni. Hineni. Keep practicing. Okay, yeah. All right, you got it. You almost got it. Okay, number two, excel in love for our unseen God. So we're going to engage the unseen world. Now you need to excel in love. Okay, everybody say love for our unseen God. Now, why is that? Okay, now, How many of us believe that you would recognize Jesus if he were just to come? Right? How many of us think you would? You think you would, right? I mean, the hair, the beard, the toga, the sandals, that totally give it away, right? Oh, Jesus, you know, right? Okay. Did you know that as Jesus was walking down Main Street, Jerusalem, the Pharisees, right, who were experts in the Bible, by the way, right, all the people out there recognize this is the Messiah, this is Jesus. But the Pharisees are up in their rooms, you know, having a Bible study, and they're yelling out in the crowd. They're saying, hey, you, Jesus, you just tell your people to keep it down out there because we're trying to have a Bible study up here. We're studying the coming of the Messiah in our scriptures. We're trying to study the Bible here. Just keep it down out there. Keep it down, right? Main Street, Jerusalem, they totally missed it. In fact, he was on a donkey just like they would be studying in Zechariah. It's pretty crazy. Now, would you, however, find yourself in a similar situation where it's so obvious that Jesus is present, but you don't recognize him? That's possible. I think it's possible. Let's read this passage in 1 John 4:8. Here's what it says. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. If you could speak, and then the next one is kind of long, but if you did all these amazing things in 1 Corinthians 13, but you didn't have love, right? All that's worth nothing. It's worth nothing. Why? Because God is love. So if you're doing a ministry, you know, even you're going on an amazing mission, healing a whole bunch of people and doing all kinds of stuff, but you didn't have love, well, that was a good thing, but that wasn't a God thing. Because God is love. Now, remember I asked you, do you think that you would recognize Jesus if he were to appear before you? Well, did you know that God chose to exist on the earth where? Where? In the believer to your left and the believer to your right. And yet, we do not have love for the one to our left, the one to our right, who is the carrier of the presence of God on the earth. You said you'd be able to recognize him if you saw him. Well, Jesus is in the person to your left and the one to your right, which means that we should have all the love and respect and reverence and honor for each other, right? So these days, I'm like walking around going, oh my gosh, I'm talking to people who are carriers of the presence of God. You carry the presence of God now, the Holy Spirit. So I want to speak to you as if I were talking to Jesus himself, because Jesus is in you. And so that's how I want to relate to you now. I want to relate to you the way God has honored and dignified you, because he's chosen you to be the carrier of his presence. So I need to recognize that. When I speak to you, I'm speaking to the vessel of the presence of God on the earth. And so, we love one another because of that. Amen? We have dignity and we have a sense of honor for each other. What about those that don't know Jesus yet? Well, they're pre-Christians. They're pre-Christians, which means that God wants to so badly know this person and dwell in this person's heart and life that he died on the cross, Jesus. So I'm going to treat pre-Christians with that same level of love and honor, because one day they too will carry his presence, because they are potentially going to do that. We'll say, well, that's easy, I mean, to say, but it's hard to do because I just don't agree with a lot of people. I mean, I talk to people, I just don't agree with them, and it gets me all worked up and I get really upset, you know? You know, because, you know, I'm talking to a Democrat, or I'm talking to a Republican, or I'm talking to, you know, someone who doesn't agree with me, right? Right? Hey, how many of us know that there is a way to disagree with honor, with gentleness, with respect? There's no way that we are all going to agree on everything, but the way you disagree is with love and with honor and respect and with prayer. Right? With prayer. Let's pray for each other so that we will arrive at the truth. Because, you know, you may not have all the truth and I don't have all the truth, but maybe between the two of us, we can arrive at the truth, right? Yeah, exactly. Right? Isn't that good? Okay. Well, so we need to engage the unseen world by excelling in our love, because God is love. And you have to know that before this world was created, the Father loved the Son, who loved the Holy Spirit, who loved the Father and the Son. So Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, right, dwelt in this like undivided, indivisible, united, perfect unity and love with each other. That existed before this world existed. That is from the unseen world. Love is from the unseen world. And so when you love, that's not from this universe. It's not from this universe. It's from another dimension. That's why you should excel in love, because love is not from here. It's from there. And when you don't love, it's not from there. If you don't have love in your heart, it just shows that you're obviously not connected to the kingdom. Right? Okay. So we're going to excel in love. Here's the last one. And that is that we are going to grow in our experience of the unseen. Everybody say experience. Yeah. Now, we definitely, you know, need the Bible. We want to grow on our knowledge of the Bible, right? And keep building our knowledge of the Bible. But how many of us know that the people in the Bible, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Moses to a great degree, did not have a Bible, right? And the apostles, Peter, James, John, right? They didn't have a New Testament. So what we're after here is not just more Bible, right? What we're after is the spirituality of the Bible, okay? The connection that these people in the Bible had with God. We want that for ourselves. We want to grow in our experience of that. So in order to do that, we need to walk by faith, not by what? Okay, now, how many of us, parents, you were there when your kids took their first steps, right? So you were there. You took pictures, you know, Lay's like, well, congratulations, like you can walk now, right? Okay, now I'm going to just take Mark as an example because I've got three and all of them, you know, we did that, you know, like take pictures, Lay, videotape. Oh my gosh, he's doing it, she's doing it. Well, it took Mark a year, okay, a whole year just to stand upright, right? Just to understand or develop the equilibrium ability to just stand upright without holding on to anything. And now he's standing. And we're like, yeah, hey, you're standing. That's good, right? Okay. But however, how many of us know he can't stand in one place for the rest of his life? He's going to need to learn how to walk. Now, in order to walk, watch this, he's going to have to upset the equilibrium that he took a year to learn. He took a year to learn this, and now up. Equilibrium upset, and then take a step. And how many times did he fall? He fell a lot of times. That's okay. It's okay. Try again. So you stand, you gain your equilibrium, you upset the equilibrium, and finally learn to take a step without falling down. Upset the equilibrium again. Took you a long time to establish equilibrium, but you're sacrificing it now to take another step. You and I take this for granted. We just call it what? Walking. Walk all the time. Okay, listen. When you first come to Christ, you are taking a stand for Jesus. Okay? You take a stand for Jesus. But as you mature in Christ, you learn to walk by faith in Christ. All right? Very cool, right? So now, let me show you how this works, practically speaking, from the life of Moses. Remember the amazing burning bush moment, right? And he says what? Hineni, I am here with all my heart to be radically obedient. Okay, so like most of us, we're talking to God now, and we're saying, okay, God, I think I have an idea of what you want. You want me to set the people free, right? Talk to Pharaoh. What was Moses' response? Was it, sure, I'll do that. No, it wasn't. It was more like, ha, so that's what you want to tell me. Okay, send Aaron. that was his response. And then the Lord said, no, okay, Aaron can go with you, but it's going to be you. He said, okay. He's just still wrestling with this idea. Well, finally, how many of us have ever asked God this same question? He's asking you to do something by faith, and you ask him this. You say, you finally come to a point, you go, how do I know this is really you and not my imagination? Maybe I'm just thinking this in my head, right? Like you know, you know what I'm talking about. It's like, you know, you're sitting at a restaurant and there's someone there and God just is telling you in your heart, go talk to that person. Go bless that person. Go pray for that person. And you're going, is that you or is that just me? You say, yeah, how do I know this is really you, right? How do I know this is really you? Well, Moses asked God that question, right? So remember, God is telling Moses to go to Egypt, tell Pharaoh to set his people free, right? And then they'll be free. Now, Moses asks God, how do I know that's really you? I think I'm just making that up. And here's what God said. God said, here's how you know that this is me. You are going to bring my people out of Egypt, and you will bring them here to this mountain, and they will worship me. That will be the sign that this was me. And Moses is going, that's not fair. It's all over by then. It's like, wait a minute. That's like after it's all over. Yeah, God goes, yeah, I know, exactly. You're going to have to walk by what? Faith. Exactly. You have to walk by faith. Write in your notes there. Faith is living in advance what you will only understand in reverse. Faith is living in advance what you will only understand in reverse. Faith is the substance of things that you hope for, the conviction of things unseen. So you don't see it yet. It's unseen. But now you're walking, upsetting your equilibrium so that you can enter into the God thing, right? It's the only way to enter into the unseen world. Faith. Faith. You know, many of you, all of us know, well, except those watching online, we are in a $6 million building project, right? Anybody see a building yet? I don't, but I'm giving all kinds of money towards it, right? We're doing all kinds of fundraisers. You know, a bunch of you are going to go to Foodland because, like Mark, you know, you didn't do it all month, so you're going to go to Foodland today, right? We're doing a lot of golf. That's all faith, right? Now, there are others. It's too risky. It's just too risky. $6 million project. That's just too risky. Hey, what you call risk, God calls faith. Amen? Amen? So that is why we're in this building project. We are walking by faith. So we need to learn to live by faith, hope, and love from the values of the unseen kingdom that is all around us. Instead of what you see, because what you don't see the building yet, you don't see people who've, you know, come to Jesus yet. That will require you to talk to them or invite them to come to church or invite them to watch online because you don't see that part yet. It's by faith that we walk. Amen? All right, let's all stand for closing prayer. Just a few minutes over because we have a lot of things going on in this service, but we're good. We're good. We're good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. What is your takeaway? As you come before Jesus right now, what is your takeaway? If you're watching online or if you're here in the sanctuary, the only way you can begin, right? The only way you can begin to shift from the seen to the unseen is to put your faith in the unseen God. It's Jesus. The Jesus who we celebrated earlier, who died for you. He didn't just die for the world, he died for you. And you need to make your own personal decision to follow Jesus. And then you will stand for him. And after you stand for him, then you can walk by faith in Him. But you're not going to be able to walk in faith until you take a stand first. So if you've never done this before, how many of us, just by the uplifted hand here this morning, would say, I take a stand for Jesus. I believe in Him. Anyone like that this morning? Not those that have done it before, but those that have not. Okay, I take a stand for Him. Hallelujah. Good, good. Excellent, excellent. I want to ask you to stick around afterwards and talk with me if you want to, or come to prayer. But you're taking a stand for Him. You're watching online, just in your own heart, to say, I take a stand for Jesus. I will take a stand for Jesus. And then I will learn how to walk. Might take me a year, but I will learn to walk by faith, not by my sight. And then here's the other thing. For those, the rest of us, right? When the Lord awakens you, or when you see a burning bush, do not pass it by. Stop. Stop and listen for Him to call your name. And when He calls your name, what will you say? Hineni. Hineni. I am here. How many of us who believe by the uplifted hand will do that the next time He calls you to prayer? How many of us will do that? Okay, that's everybody. Hallelujah. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's children said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Well, there you go. Now you know what to do to go from seeing to unseen. Aloha ke akua. God bless. See you next time.